Welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 4th of November. Well, we are in a passage that has caused some people some trouble. This famous examine yourself passage of 1 Corinthians 11, beginning around 27, on through the end of the chapter. We've talked about what that self-examination is about. Yesterday we talked about the proper judgment, discerning the Lord's body, that diakronos is the Greek word to make a proper judgment, and so you make a proper judgment about what Jesus has done so that you are released from condemnation and guilt, and so that you are making a distinction between what happened to Jesus at the cross and the body that comes out of the grave, and why this is not cheap, it's not always easy, it's not simplistic, it takes you reflecting and wrestling and questioning and figuring things out. The thing that should bother us about taking communion is not whether or not we are right or righteous or have committed any sin this week. What ought to be something worth pausing over is, have I seriously considered what Jesus did for me on the cross? Have I taken serious the fact that my iniquity was laid on him, that my judgment was laid on him, that I don't want to underestimate what he did. I don't want to misinterpret what he did. And discerning the Lord's body is the key. I told you we would deal with this passage today from verse 30. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many asleep. But how you handle the judgment of this passage will determine how you handle this passage. For instance, I've read several commentaries, and the basic understanding from the scholarly world in the traditional commentaries is that God judges people who partake of communion in an unworthy manner by making them weak and sick, and some of them even die. And if you don't want him to do that to you, then you should judge yourself. Because verse 31, if we would judge ourselves, then we would not be judged. But I think the problem with that interpretation is it doesn't take into account when judgment occurred. And it assumes that judgment is in your future. Remember, we've talked about this a lot lately on our Tuesday night Bible studies. If you haven't caught up with what we're doing in the studies in the book of John, I'd highly recommend it. We've done several. And that's saying something. That's downplaying it. We've done over 60 of them, and we're in the 10th chapter, working our way painfully slowly, but we've walked through a lot of this stuff already, and some things we've already jumped ahead to. One of those things is judgment. Talked about in John 5 how the Father doesn't judge anyone, but he gives all judgment to the Son. And then in John 12, Jesus declares that now is the judgment of this world, and now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And if he was lifted up, he would draw all, not all men, not all peoples. Those are bad translations. Those are italicized words. They're not in the Greek. What Jesus would draw is he would draw all judgment into himself. And that means that the now judgment means that all has been judged in Jesus. If you can discern that, that's life. By the way, that is life. And if you can discern, if you can't discern that, many are weak and sick and sleep. And sleep is die. And they die before they're supposed to die. And they're sick when they're not supposed to be sick. And they're weak when they're not supposed to be weak. It's not, again, it's going to depend on what you think about judgment. If you think judgment's out in your future, then you're going to read things like 1 Corinthians 11 and say, well, if you mess this up, God's going to make you weak, God might make you sick, God might even kill you. If you see judgment as has been exacted in the body of Christ, and then you discern the Lord's body, which is make a proper judgment about the Lord's body, then you don't have to drink the damnation of being weak and sick and dying before the time into yourself. And that's the line, sort of the line of demarcation in this thing. When you read the scholarly commentaries or whatever, it's flat discouraging to me to read some of the commentaries because they take an old covenant version of God and basically reinstill it on post-resurrection right there in the middle of 1 Corinthians 11 And no wonder people are scared to death about taking communion, because they preach and teach the communion ceremony as if it's this access, this portal into the God of the Old Covenant. Why in the world would you participate? I'd stay home as well. I mean, if that's what was going to happen, I'd skip communion. I mean, I'd say there's no reason for this. But when you discern that the judgment has been exacted in Him, then the ceremony becomes something beautiful for you. And so your role in this is to discern what happened. Look at 32. When we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord that we may not be condemned with the world. So what is your role? You discern. You make a judgment that Christ's body was broken for your sins, that your peace has been paid for. A lot of this is in Isaiah 53 judgment. You know, you go back and read that 53rd chapter about the things that were going to happen and be done in Him. You make a decision. You make a determination. You judge this to be true, that He was wounded for your transgressions and bruised for your iniquities, and the chastisement of your peace was upon Him. That your sins, as Peter said, were in His body on the tree. Now, Jesus gave this to Paul. Those are the words written in red back in verses 24 and 25. If Jesus gives this to Paul, why in the world would we, and this is the same Jesus that said, I don't judge anyone, but there's a judgment that I'm going to take into myself, and I'm going to take it all into myself. Why would, when you partake communion, you go back under the judgment for which His body was broken? I'll say this, and this is bold, but this is where I am with this. The commentators that state that if you partake of communion with things wrong, you bring judgment into yourself, they're actually preaching an anti-Christ message. They're actually saying the reverse of what the text is saying. Because what they're saying is that Jesus gave Paul instruction to tell people to take communion, but if they don't take it right, He'll make them sick and kill them. And that they need to make it right before they partake. That way God doesn't have to make it right after they partake. My first response is, why would you ever partake? Don't take a chance. My second is, do you think the finished work is incomplete? So Jesus has taken the judgment into Himself. You are clean. Man, you ought to live like it. You ought to believe like it. And I think too many of us are weak, sick, and die before our time, not because of sin, but because we don't discern what's been paid for on our behalf. And I don't want to indicate that people get sick because their faith's in the wrong place, or that people die because they didn't understand that Jesus had paid for it. But He doesn't say everyone. He doesn't say everyone's weak, sick, and die because of this. But He says many. And so I think He meant it. I think Paul saw the church living way below the standard. And he said, you don't have to be this way. If you would determine what happened to Jesus at Calvary and then figure that out, take communion as if that's a reality, then some of this stuff doesn't have to belong to you. And you need to make that determination within your own self. All right. We'll try to close this chapter tomorrow. I'll see you then. God bless.